Hey everybody, we're back again for another superhero marathon. Day two, right? It's easy. It's going to be easy in these first few days to keep track of it because I'm just going to follow along with the episode of the Fantastic Four radio show that we're going to go along with. And yes, so today is episode two. It does not correspond, though, with issue two from the comics. And we can talk more about that after we listen to the episode. But yeah, it's some interesting choices here. And I guess I can speculate as to maybe why that is. But let's go ahead and get out the Wamperdime Temporal Radio Tuner. And I'll invite you to come with me as we journey into miracles.
Trust in me, just in me. Shut your eyes and trust in me.
Attention, all true believers. Marvel Comics is on the air. From the annals of the world's greatest comic magazine come the adventures of the Fantastic Four. In this week's epic, we'll hear the amazing Fantasticar for the first time as the Fantastic Four face the menace of the Miracle Man. Get ready, our tale begins in just half a moment.
We're in New York City's giant concert hall, where the Miracle Man is dazzling the crowds with his amazing mystical magic show.
He can do anything.
How does he do it? There's no wires and nothing. He really is a Miracle Man.
So I am. And from my vantage point up here, I can see we have four celebrities in our audience this evening. The first is Dr. Reed Richards, better known as Mr. Fantastic. And next to him, and fully visible, is the so-called Invisible Girl. And on her left, we find Thing.
Hey, get that spotlight off of me!
Don't be bashful.
Come on!
Oh, well. And then we find the youngest member of the Fantastic Four, known to the world as the Human Torch.
What's he up to?
The Fantastic Four. They are supposed to be the most powerful, most amazing quartet in history. But I say to them, bah, next to my power, they are nothing.
Can they become more powerful giants at will?
Fancy pants.
Wait, Thing.
Let go. I'll wipe that grin off his oily face.
Ah, I was hoping one of you would accept my friendly challenge. Step right up here, Thing. Let's have a little test of strength.
You ain't no challenge to me.
Your overrated powers against my miraculous powers? This will be a defeat you'll never forget. Pick either of these two identical tree trunks.
Okay. Now what?
Destroy it. In any way you can.
Oh, that'll be easy. Think I can, huh? Watch. Gosh. How's that, huh?
Not bad for mere brute force.
Okay, wise guy. Now it's your turn.
So it is. But for me, the power of one finger is quite sufficient.
Gotta be a trick. Nobody's that powerful.
You lumbering fool, what do you know of power? You, with all your animal strength, could not hurt me with your hardest blow.
Oh, yeah? Try this one on for size.
Certainly, if it will serve to convince you.
It didn't even faze him, Reed.
It ain't possible. That chap could have smashed through a stone wall. Let me out again.
No, Mr. Grimm, that won't be necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, I conclude my performance. You have been most kind. Thank you.
Minutes later, in their new air-powered flying craft called the Fantasticar, our four mystified superheroes are headed for home base.
You've been quiet for so long, Reed. What are you thinking?
Just that it's fortunate for us the Miracle Man isn't a criminal. If he was, he might be one foe we couldn't defeat.
But little does Reed Richards know that at that very moment, in his dressing room at the theater...
The time has come for me to remove my mask of respectability. Now that I have demonstrated my powers to the world, it is time for the Miracle Man to strike! Need a bold, breathtaking feat to make them realize that the human race is powerless against me. Wait. In front of the theater below, there's my answer. The huge statue of the monster from Mars is on exhibit. I shall bring that statue to life and use it as my unconquerable slave!
And so the groundwork is laid for the Fantastic Four's next battle.
I've set the controls on automatic.
We're almost home.
The Fantastic Car actually lands itself.
And the roof on top of headquarters works like an aircraft carrier deck.
Reed, are you sure that the Miracle Man isn't a criminal?
We join the Fantastic Four at their nearly completed headquarters atop the Baxter Building on Manhattan's Madison Avenue, where they are relaxing after a night at the theater.
We're here at the...
Hey, look, they're televising the opening of that Monster from Mars exhibit.
We were just across the street from there.
Never mind the statue. Look at what I've got.
Susan, you made a costume for yourself.
And for all of you. It's time we had some colorful clothes to wear.
Bah! What's this? Giants? I ain't wearing no dumb costume.
Reed, think, look. It's the Miracle Man on TV.
What's he doing there?
He's making some kind of strange gesture.
Put it on the big screen, Johnny, and turn up the sound.
Oh, my God, the monster statue has come to life. It's moving. Look out! The monster from Mars is alive and loose. I've never seen anything like this, ladies and gentlemen. This huge monument to the people of Mars has, by some power, suddenly begun to walk, and he's crushing everything in his path. It's amazing. When he is standing erect, he must be 250 feet tall.
And with a little Marvel magic, we travel to the scene.
Crouch back, Sarge.
We've got to stop that thing.
Look out, Charlie. What the?
He's crushing my car like it was a tin can.
Get that bazooka over here on the double.
Okay, let him have
it. Wait! It's disappeared. Vanished.
Right before our eyes. The monster's trail of destruction is all that remains. The most amazing thing I've ever seen. The monster vanished right before our very eyes.
It was the Miracle Man. I don't know how, but it's him.
This is what I dreaded. The man whose power seems to be greater than ours has turned on mankind.
Power, schmower. Just let me get my hands on him again, that's all.
We've got to get in touch with the Commissioner, Reed. We've got to warn him.
Phone call for you, sir, from the Fantastic Four.
Good.
Reed, I want to read you this note I just received. Okay, Commissioner, we've got our recorder going.
Roger, ready for this. I hereby declare war on the entire human race, signed the Miracle Man.
That's pretty heavy, Commissioner.
Reed, I'm authorizing you four to do whatever you can. This Miracle Man must be stopped.
And so it begins, as the Fantastic Four set out to do battle with a man who works miracles.
We'll each take different sections of the city.
And with a push of a button, the amazing Fantasticar splits into four separate self-powered modules, and the Fantastic Four begin their search.
Good luck, everyone.
And barely half a mile from the Baxter Building, the living monster reappears and crashes through the steel walls of a heavily guarded jewelry store in New York City's Diamond District.
Stop him! He's stolen $100 million worth of gems!
How indeed. But the keen eyes of Mr. Fantastic spy the lumbering creature.
Monster's coming my way. I've got to trap him. I'll make a human net out of my body, stretching it to its absolute limit. Just three more steps. Come on, baby. A little more stretch. Gotcha.
But another figure is also on the scene.
Mr. Fantastic.
You.
It will take more than a rubber in the elastic free to water my plans.
Mr. Fantastic, being knocked unconscious, loses his cosmic powers, and man and monster slip into the gathering darkness. A short while later, at police headquarters...
I'm disappointed in you, Reed. You almost had him, and he slipped right through your fingers.
I'm sorry, Commissioner.
What happens next?
The others are still on patrol. We'll stop him.
How can a man who works miracles be stopped? How can a man that can bring life to the monster from Mars be kept in check? That is the problem confronting the guards at a nearby military supply depot.
It's the monster!
He's after a new atomic tank!
And from above, another figure flies into the scene.
There he is, Tom. No time to warn the others.
Diving from his hovering section of the Fantastic Car, Johnny Storm plummets to Earth just before he reaches the ground.
Flame on!
Johnny Storm enters the battle as the Human Torch. And from another section of the patrolling Fantastic Car...
He's found a monster.
That means the Miracle Man can't be far away.
Yeah, and I'm getting out of this silly monkey suit so I can move.
But while Sue and the Thing prepare for action...
You trying to grab me, chum? Okay, let's make it a little easier for you, huh? And hotter. You want to touch the torch, do you, Martian Monster Man? Well, it's time for you to learn the Human Torch is too hot to handle.
It was only wooden plastic. So how did the Miracle Man make him move?
And as the torch ponders that problem, our villain is readying a new one.
This will stop that blazing nuisance.
Careful. Boom. My plane. Where are the others?
Hey, Ratchet. What's wrong with you?
The Miracle Man sprayed me with foam. You'll have to get him now.
Get him. I'll get him all right. Come here, you slut.
Come on.
Okay, Magic Pants, let's see you get out of this one.
And a few moments later...
Good. Did you see that?
What? Oh, the fall.
Did you see where he went? Oh, I'm gonna nail that creep if it takes forever. Hey, where you go with that tank, punk?
But the fourth member of our team takes over now. The invisible girl is a secret stowaway in the atomic tank and calls the others on her portable radio.
Sometimes one invisible girl can accomplish more than a full battalion. The Miracle Man may be getting away, but he's got an unseen passenger along this time.
And following Sue's instructions, Thing and Johnny return to Fantastic Four headquarters where they find Reed Richards, and once again, an internal argument ensues.
How could you leave Sue out there to tackle the Miracle Man alone?
Because she wanted it that way, twerp, remember? Now shut up. And let us think.
Simmer down, Thing, and you too, Johnny. When Sue signals us, we've got to be ready.
Ready? I'm always ready. The next time I get within grabbing distance of that fancy faker, I'll make mincemeat out of him. He thinks his powers are greater than ours. Well, they ain't. Nothing's more powerful than those cosmic rays that turned us into what we are. I'll never burn that day out of my memory. That launch into space... And then the cosmic rays and the crash in South America. I'll never forget seeing Susan, sweet Susan, grow invisible for the first time. Or the look on your faces. I was Ben Grimm then, before I began to change. Before I became a Thing. And Reed, how did it feel when your lips stretched and you realized that you could mold into any shape you wish? And then, when I saw Johnny turn into the Human Torch...
That's when we joined together and became the Fantastic Four.
And we've been able to use our powers to help mankind, to fight evil and injustice.
Sure. Great. right for you, but what about me? I'm nothing more than a walking, fright show, an ugly, gruesome thing. What about me?
You've changed back to your normal self for a few minutes.
It might happen again for a longer time.
I don't want to be normal for a few minutes. I want to be Ben Grimm permanently. I want women to look at me and smile instead of screaming.
Chicks look at you? Don't kid yourself. They wouldn't look at you if you looked like Robert Redford.
Well, you crummy little punk. I'll take you.
Hey, lay off, you big ape. I was only fooling around.
Yeah, me too.
Don't get crazy, Thing.
I think I'm crazy, do you? Well, what do you think it is?
I warned you. If it's a fight you want, play mine. Then that's what you'll get.
Okay, you two, let's not get out of control.
Yeah? Climb off, you sport, and fight like a man.
Oh, sure, it's okay for you to use your uncontrollable animal strength, but if I use my controllable flame, I'm not fighting like a man.
Huh?
Well, that's it. I'm leaving. I'm sick of looking at your ugly puss anyway.
Better get out while you still can walk.
I'll find my sister alone. You all seem to have forgotten all about her. She may be part of your dumb club, but she's still my sister.
Why can't you control yourself, Ben? What's wrong with us?
Look, in any mirror will answer that for you. Ah, heck with it. When's Sue gonna signal us? What's happened to her?
We find the invisible girl in the atomic tank, driven by the Miracle Man, entering an automobile junkyard in the suburbs.
Within minutes, I'll have this tank so well hidden that no one will ever find it.
The Miracle Man is covering the tank with old wrecked cars. I can only alert the others before they suspect I'm here. The dog has caught my scent.
What is it, boy? Why are you growling? There's nobody here.
The dog never growls for no reason. So if I can't see anyone, then it must be the invisible girl.
It won't work, Susan Storm. I know you're here. And I, Miracle Man, command you to become visible.
Ah, that's much better. You see, I have the power to make even the invisible girl visible. You must obey me. I am your master. You are to signal the Fantastic Four to come to your rescue. Then I shall defeat them once and for all.
Like a woman in a trance, Susan Storm aims her small emergency flare pistol into the sky and...
is done. This marks the beginning of the end of the so-called Fantastic Four.
Look out there, Thing. Susan's signal.
Well, it's about time.
I hope she's all right. The Miracle Man is a dangerous character.
She better be okay, for his sake.
And so the stage is set for this momentous battle. Except for the Invisible Girl's brother, the Human Torch, who is drowning his troubles at a Greenwich Village sidewalk cafe.
Hey, Johnny, why can't I join the Fantastic Four? I'm your best buddy.
Ease up, will you? I got a thing.
What's bugging you, man?
First of all, my sister is missing. And secondly, the Thing is acting like an absolute ape, as usual. One of these days, I'll have a showdown with that big slob.
Hey, Johnny, isn't that the Fantastic Four emergency signal?
It sure is. That's the signal I've been waiting for. Sue needs me. Flame on. Catch up with you.
Hey, take me with you, Johnny. Come on, man, I'll help you.
Where the Human Torch goes, he goes alone.
Fate works in mysterious ways. Whoever would have thought the most powerful foes in all the world would have their last battle in a lonely junkyard in Scarsdale?
So again we meet, Miracle Man.
Very astute, my good fellow.
Your monster is destroyed, and you won't get away this time.
Me? Get away? No, gentlemen, it is you who are trapped, and I will destroy you all.
If you think you're scaring us with that oversized skeleton key you're pointing, you got another think coming.
You'll see soon enough.
Come on, Reed. Let's take it.
Oh, hold on, Thing. There's more to that giant key than meets the eye.
How very perceptive of you, Mr. Fantastic.
Now, Reed.
This is more than a magical key. Before your very eyes, I can change it.
A machine gun.
Right again, Professor. And now, farewell to you all.
I, too, can do a quick change trick. Ever tried hitting a bouncing ball with your overgrown Gatling gun?
Reed can't dodge that dummy's dum-dums forever. I better do something. I don't know.
like a lumbering giant. The mighty thing races between Mr. Fantastic and the deadly bullets, letting his own incredible body absorb the impact of the projectiles until...
At last, he's out of ammo.
Harry, please!
Thing, you saved my life.
Yeah, well, you better get moving before Laughing Boy gets away.
But before the exhausted Mr. Fantastic or the battered Thing can make a move, the Miracle Man reaches the atomic tank with his female hostage and...
He's getting away, Reed! He's getting away!
To the Fantastic car. We'll catch him.
Thing, Reed, wait.
It's Johnny.
It's about time you got here, Junior.
The Miracle Man cut your drive cable. It's death to use the Fantastic car.
Quick, we can still catch him in one of these antique cars that are stored here between exhibitions.
Never mind that. I can fly faster than that, Eve.
Well, why ain't you flying, Matchstick?
Because this is more fun.
Can't you ever be serious? Have you forgotten that your sister is the Miracle Man's prisoner?
Look out!
He's hit a tire.
We're gonna crash!
It's my turn to finish him off.
Torch, wait!
Flame on!
Watch out for Sue!
But the Human Torch causes no harm. Instead, he increases his flame until it becomes a blazing flash of light in front of the tank, temporarily blinding the Miracle Man.
Ah! I can't see! I'm blind!
And only minutes later...
My eyes! My eyes!
You'll be okay, fella. But if you've harmed my sister...
He did it. The torch stopped the Miracle Man.
And now it's my turn. I've been waiting for this.
Hold it, Thing. You'd kill him. His power is gone. The law can take care of him now.
Huh? But how do you know?
I'll explain in a minute. But first, Miracle Man, or whoever you are, bring Susan out of her trance.
Never.
Do as I say, or I'll turn you over to the Thing.
All right. All right. I'll do it. Susan Storm, you are yourself again.
Oh!
She's fainted.
Okay, Reed. How did he do it?
Yeah, what is he anyway? Well, he's no Miracle Man, that's for sure. He's merely a clever hypnotist, a master of mass illusion. A monster never really moved. He hypnotized us into thinking it did.
You mean he never really split that log on stage with one finger?
He only made us think he did. The same for all his other miraculous feats.
How did you guess, Reed?
A true Miracle Man wouldn't have needed to steal jewels. He could have conjured up all the wealth of the world. A true Miracle Man would not have needed to flee from us. He could have simply vanished or caused us to disappear. But now his hypnotic power is gone because of Johnny's blinding light.
Hey, wait a minute. Reed, are you trying to give that flaming juvenile delinquent all the credit for solving this caper?
Well, what did you do, Gruesome?
Oh, boys, please. Don't start arguing again. I just can't stand anymore. Not right now.
Relax, sis. We're not going to get into another hassle. I've had all the bossing around I'm going to take. I really am cutting out of this combo right now.
Oh, you can't quit us now, Johnny.
I'll let him go. He's more trouble than he's worth.
That doesn't. Flame on.
Torch, come back. Torch.
Johnny, don't leave.
It's too late, Sue.
Oh, Reed, what will become of him? Where will he go?
It's not him I'm worried about. It's mankind. What will we do? What can we do if he turns against us?
Be with us next week for the coming of the Submariner. The Fantastic cast is...
Cynthia Adler.
Bob Maxwell.
Bill Murray.
Jim Pappas.
Gary Gerhyden.
Narrated by Smilin' Stan Lee.
So there you go. There's the Menace of the Miracle Man from the Fantastic Four radio show from 1975. There's not a lot known about this radio show that I can find. As far as... I'm sure it was Stan Lee, you know, trying to get more... coverage, more stuff out there, adaptations of a superhero stuff. And, you know, I'll have to admit, this isn't the best produced audio drama. It kind of reminds me of the Power Records adaptations of things back in the day, you know, right around the same timeline in the 70s. In fact, I might have to play at least one of those during this marathon. And I think I know which one I want to use. But yeah, it's you know, it's not the highest quality audio production. In fact, in this one, like, you couldn't even tell what was going on sometimes. There was one point when Mr. Fantastic was had the monster tangled up, you know, he stretched his body and tangled him up, and Miracle Man came up and he basically, all he did, he threw a brick and hit Reed Richards in the head to knock him out. But you couldn't tell that that was going on. I only knew that because I had read the comic and I was kind of following along with the comic as I listened to it. And so, and then again, kind of again there in the middle when the Thing is going up against the Miracle Man, you just, it's just a bunch of garbled noise and you can't really hear what's going on. But essentially the ground swallows up the Thing and then entraps him in the ground. But yeah, there's no, you know, not even a on-the-nose comment that you get from a lot of radio drama where it says, "Hey, what's going on? The ground is opening up around me. Ah, I can't move." It didn't even do that, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we make fun of that in old-time radio where the dialogue is telling you what's going on because, you know, sometimes it has to, right? But yeah, just stuff like that. It's like, what's going on with this comic? You know, you can't really follow the action very well. And so maybe that is a weakness in, like I was kind of praising yesterday, how it's a direct adaptation out of the comics. It's not really an adaptation. It's just a reading of it with some things changed and giving more people lines and stuff like that. So it's not verbatim, but yeah, very much just lifted right out of the comic book. And maybe that is a weakness out of it. You know, I told you that it was interesting that they went with the Miracle Man next, because this is issue 3 of the comics, but it's episode 2 of the radio show. Issue number 2 of the comics was the introduction of the Skrulls from outer space. And, you know, everybody knows about the Skrulls and you know, they're part of the MCU and all that kind of stuff. We have the Secret Invasion coming up at some point in the next year or so. And they were part of Ms. Marvel and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know why they didn't do this. You know, there is a lot of stuff going on in that comic. And maybe they just didn't feel like it would translate well enough that they wouldn't be able to get it into audio for it to be understandable. But yeah, there's some really great, I like the Skrulls, I always have. It's kind of a shame they didn't do it in the radio show. You know, I don't know how many people listen to this radio show at all. You know, there's only 13 episodes, which means they made 13 episodes and then it didn't do well, so they didn't make any more. So anyway, I just thought that's interesting that they skipped right over the Skrulls. But interestingly enough, one of the episodes we're going to listen to talks about the Super Skrull. And so it's like, well, how did you get from no Skrulls at all to the Super Skrull? So anyway, that's an interesting thing. And maybe I'll have to sum up the plot of the issue number 2 of the Fantastic Four after we get through all these radio shows. I have enough days. I need to fill up time, people. So we'll see that going on. No, I do have plans for mostly what I'm doing, but there's a few days in here where I definitely need to fill in. You know, the Miracle Man also is not a very good villain. You know, it's all based on hypnotism and how often can you use that trope. But then again, you know, we have Magneto with his magnetism powers, and how often can you use that? Well, Magneto's become a pretty big thing. Not for the Fantastic Four, that's an X-Men thing, but yeah, Miracle Man, like, you know, like I said, the Mole Man is a recurring villain of the Fantastic Four. Next time we're going to talk about the Submariner, and he's definitely a recurring villain slash ally slash love interest for the Fantastic Four. And then Dr. Doom is next. And so Dr. Doom, I mean, he's the big villain, right? But before we get to those guys, we get the Miracle Man. And I think he does come back in the comics like years and years later, but nothing substantial. It's just kind of a one-off character here. And but to listen to Stan Lee talk about this guy, you know, he was like, oh, he's going to take over the world. And yeah, just the hyperbole is pretty funny. sometimes. But yeah, we get the first use of the Fantasticar, which is kind of cool. They have their first time using the uniforms. And it's interesting that the Thing had a full body uniform, even with a mask over his face, even though he rips it off halfway through. But yeah, a lot of first things, you know. We have the first Johnny fight, Johnny and the Thing fight. And then we have the first time that somebody leaves the Fantastic Four because they're mad. This is what made the Fantastic Four different, is they're arguing with each other. They're not necessarily all on board with everything. And now Johnny, second episode of the radio show in, he's left the team. And right away, Reed's like, ooh, what if he turns evil? I don't know what we do if he turns evil. And, you know, they are also suspicious of the Thing. You know, what if the Thing goes evil? And it's just interesting to see the beginning issues slash episodes of this. And just to see where they're at. Like I said, it's not the highest quality audio production, but I still enjoy these old radio episodes. But it's probably because I enjoy the old time radio stuff, or it's probably because I love the comics so much, and then it's just fun to hear it with this old radio show, especially when I remember that it's Bill Murray as Johnny. I also thought it was kind of funny how they tried to update the pop culture references. And Johnny Storm makes a reference to Robert Redford here in this one. And back in the comic that came out in 61 or 62, it was Rock Hudson who was the pop culture reference instead of Robert Redford. But in 1975, I guess when this radio show was done, they thought, oh, we better update that to somebody. So I guess who would that be if we did an audio production and tried to update the Fantastic Four now? Who's the new Hollywood heartthrob? Is it Harry Styles? I don't know. I don't know anything about new stuff. Jason Momoa? Chris Hemsworth maybe? Chris Evans? I don't know. Chris Pratt? One of the Chris's. Of course, Chris Evans would be a cool little nod since he played the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies. Yeah, from Bill Murray to Chris Evans to Michael B. Jordan. But yeah, we got several more of these, so I'll get out of your way for the day and let you get back to what you're doing. We'll be back tomorrow with the coming of the Submariner. Yeah, the 60s, man, they were salacious times. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. This installment of the Superhero Marathon has been produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which means that you are encouraged to share this with anybody and everybody, but you can't change it, you can't sell it, and you need to let people know where it came from.